8 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Whether you're getting ready to go to work, on your way to work, at work. Coming up a little bit, Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, will join us. Talk about the Avs and the Wild tonight right here on the team at 6:30. Also, Nathan McKinnon, is he starting to play himself back into the MVP conversation? Not that McKinnon has had a dreadful season. But I remember last year, he was very much forefront in the voting for the Hart Trophy. So we'll talk about that. And also, when we think about the Norris, the best defenseman in the NHL, when we think of Cale Makar right now, maybe at some point Bo Byram, but certainly not right now, but Cale Makar for the Avalanche. But what about one Sam Girard, who's having an outstanding season for the Avalanche?
What about Mikko Rantanen?
Who he's not a defenseman.
Oh, sorry. But for an MVP.
But for Hart Trophy consideration, absolutely. So we'll ask some of these questions to Connor McGahee.
Okay. Sorry, I circled back to your MVP discussion.
That's okay. That's all right. And Chris Dempsey's going to join us as well.
Yeah.
Talk a little Nuggets. Denver taking down the Pistons last night. It was the makeup game. Remember the game that they had Detroit had the positive COVID test?
Oh, yeah.
Right before the game and shut it down. Well, it was a makeup game for that last night. Denver rolling over the Pistons. They have won 7 straight. So our Qdoba question of the day today, brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill. Question is this. The wise guys in Vegas have Denver at 7.5. So they're picking the Broncos to have a losing record again.
Yeah.
Are you taking the over or the under? We're going to make a little tweak, and I'll give our friends at Mile High Report a little credit for this. Do you take the over-under on the Broncos at 7.5 with Drew Locke as the starting quarterback? We'll throw that as the caveat. I'm still going to take them on the over because I think Locke will be better. I think their defense will give them a chance to have a winning record. I'm a little more hesitant because I want to have faith. I want to believe in Drew Locke. I'm having a tough time, though. I'm struggling in my faith.
Yeah.
And believe in Drew Locke. I do think he will be better. So if you got some thoughts on that today, our Qdoba question of the day today. So text in Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. All right, want to get to a couple of things. We'll start out with the Broncos making kind of a very quiet addition yesterday. It's not one of those blockbuster additions like a Kyle Fuller or Ronald Darby. But the Broncos signing free agent defensive tackle Shamar Stephen, 6'5", 309-pounder, played in 98 career games with 173 tackles and 4.5 sacks, started in all 16 games last season for Minnesota, expected to be a depth guy at the nose tackle spot, backing up Mike Purcell, playing that nose tackle position for the Broncos. So it's one of those, like I said, quiet additions for Denver that gives them some more depth up front. Are you concerned that maybe George Payton's now becoming with the addition of Mike Boone, former Viking, that he's leaning too much on former Vikings, on guys that he, or is that a good thing, right? That he knows these players, he knows how they'll fit on the Broncos roster. I think he thinks Boone is a guy who certainly can help on special teams. Denver needs that. Boone also has maybe the potential being the number two to Melvin Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that a concern that maybe he's becoming too reliant on guys that played for the Vikings previously?
For me, it's a little bit, but it's not just him. I feel that this entire offseason has been, hey, I know this guy from Vic in Chicago or George Payton with his evaluation of, guys that were in Minnesota. It seems like it's either Vikings or Bears that they've brought in.
Though Ronald Darby, though, goes against the grain on that.
Goes against the grain a little bit. But for the most part, it's got the feeling, at least, of they're not really branching out of their comfort zone to bring in players, at least to me a little bit.
But
it's not
brought,
it's not a big criticism, but it's, right. it's a little bit like, eh.
But wouldn't you brought in Kyle Fuller anyway?
Yeah.
Regardless. I mean, he even if there was no Vic.
That
had
was
not
a coincidence.
Him,
I'll give you that.
Yeah. That Vic, that his association coaching Kyle Fuller in Chicago, mm-hmm. I think that's.
But maybe that doesn't happen if Vic's not here. If his defensive coordinator is somewhere else, he may not come to Denver.
Kyle Fuller's a pretty darn good corner, though. I mean, that's what I mean.
He's going to be on.
I think
he's going to be in demand.
I think what helped was that relationship. That certainly helped, right? Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
that's a positive because that allowed the Broncos to get him kind of on the cheap for a 1 year, you know, show me kind of deal.
But they're bringing in a lot of NFC North guys, you know, and they're bringing in Vikings from a team that was 7-9. But they're not bringing in like your frontline starter Vikings. You're bringing in, you know, kind of offensive linemen and special teams Vikings from a 7-9 squad. To me, it's a little bit like, okay, does George know there's 30 other teams in the league that aren't the Broncos and the Vikings? There's a lot of other guys. There's like 53 times 32. The math is hard, but there's a ton of guys out there that you need to look at.
But once again, Ronald Darby does not fit that MO.
I know.
And I still think Kyle Fuller's a guy that you would have pursued regardless if there's a connection there or not. Boone, okay. That's George Payton feeling like, I know this player. Mm-hmm. I know he'll help us on special teams, and I feel like he's just kind of scratching the surface as a running back.
But I
agree with that. I agree with that, and I probably agree mm-hmm. to a certain degree with Shamar Stephen. If these guys play well, it comes off as genius moves, right? If they're big contributors.
But right now, on paper, are they huge upgrades? Mike Boone, maybe. Shamar Stephens,
doubtful. He's a depth guy. I mean, it provides depth on the line. He's got experience starting 16 games mm-hmm. last year. It's not like they're spending a fortune on Shamar Stephens.
Right, but you have Jones, Purcell, Harris. Is he going to make a run at a starting spot? Probably not.
Well, they're projecting him to play nose tackle, so it's Purcell.
And but he's a rotation guy.
It's McTelvin Agum, who mm-hmm. are the two guys that he'll kind of vie for at that spot. So he's not projected to, you know, they're going to flex him out and play defensive end or anything like that.
But he's going to be a rotation guy in the middle. He's not going to be he's out there three downs guy. You know, three out every 4 downs.
He's a depth guy. He's a guy that started in the league 16 games. He's a valuable commodity in terms of his experience.
They're not huge risks.
Right.
So, I mean, I can't be like, man, he's mortgaging a lot just on guys that only he knows. So it's not like it's huge criticism, but it's like a 2 or a 3 on a scale of 10 of, you know, there's other teams, right? It's not huge. They're not risky. Mike Boone, you know, Shamar Stephen, they're not like, oh, man, they are mortgaging their future based only upon George Payton knew from Minnesota.
Exactly.
So it's not the worst thing in the world, but there's a little bit of, let's branch out, fellas. You know, a tree that gives you many branches is lots of shade.
I want to feel this is a case where George Payton's knowledge of these players and what they bring to the table is a plus. And they're also
two guys.
And it's also not, like I said, not two guys you're not paying a ton for. They're guys that provide depth at the running back spot and the defensive line spot. I believe in George Payton. I want to believe that this is his experience knowing these players. They're good additions mm-hmm. to this roster at a relatively low cost. We don't know what the Shamar Stephen contract is. It's not going to be very much,
his
obviously.
His off-season family tree, though, kind of looks like a walking stick. That's the only issue that I'm starting to have a little bit.
And my
very
thing is,
narrow.
I believe in him right now because I have no reason to discount why he wouldn't tap into players that he knew in Minnesota, guys that can provide depth of this team. They're not spending a fortune on them as starters. Mm-hmm. That's not ridiculous like that. I'm fine with it. But we'll see. Now, but once again, if it starts blowing up, like, wait a minute, you're way too reliant on guys you thought could come in here and help that they are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you should have looked elsewhere, but we'll let what their performances decide that going forward.
When you poach a front office guy from a 13-3 team and he starts bringing in those guys, that's going to look better than the 7-9 squad, right? So that's all it is.
Sure. Of course, the draft coming up and NFL Network's James Palmer, a guy that I think does a really good job. I believe James Palmer is kind of one of those underrated NFL insiders.
Absolutely.
And Palmer was talking about what the Broncos might do at number nine.
Nine times.
And so here's a little of James Palmer, courtesy of the NFL Network, talking about what might happen for the Broncos with the ninth pick in the first round if they stay there.
I mean, I would be very happy. And George Payton was at that pro day. He was at Trey Lance's pro day at North Dakota State. And they are still looking to improve that quarterback room.
Talk about Justin
Fields.
But why
haven't they done it yet in the veteran market? Well, let's take a look at how George Payton has gone through free agency. He's been very patient in the way he's gone about it. And at the same time, talking to people in the building, Andrew, it's been, we don't want to force it. And we do feel like we're fortunate we have a quarterback in Drew Lock. I think this shows you, as they've not really gone out there after Ryan Fitzpatrick, where they've lukewarm on Andy Dalton, they do feel like they have someone in Drew Lock that is going to be better than he was in his first season and a half in the NFL, to where they're not forcing anything. But again, as we talked about these pro days, George Payton's going to go out there and make sure he knows everything about these top five quarterbacks to put him in a position to where I do believe if the right one is there, he will trade up to get one that he has fallen in love with, but he has to make sure that he has fallen in love with one of them, so they're doing all of the due diligence there. They are in play to possibly move up for a quarterback. They'll see how the market falls and maybe getting one at nine. They do want to make sure they upgrade this quarterback position. If it doesn't happen in the draft, and I mentioned that they've slow played it here in free agency, don't be surprised if they do it after the draft. Maybe not a Sam Darnold, but if Teddy Bridgewater becomes available, or say the market changes on Jimmy Garoppolo, they'll still be looking for an addition to that quarterback room if it doesn't happen by the time the draft rolls around.
All right, once again, that is James Palmer, NFL Network.
That's kind of bummed the house DJ cut off the tunes there for a little bit.
I know.
I was just jamming.
Just let it roll, man. Yeah. Just let it roll underneath you. So the takeaway from Palmer's comments there, that there seems to be, at least this is how I read the tea leaves, an inclination for the Broncos to believe that Drew Lock is still the answer for this team. Do we know that George Payton's fallen in love with Justin Fields? I don't know that for certain. Trey Lance? Don't know. I do know this morning the Falcons have indicated that they've had several inquiries into their fourth pick. Could that be coming from the Broncos? Could that be one of the, could they be one of the teams that are saying, hey, what will it take to get to number four? Which would put them in a better position if you want a Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Or if you want a Justin Fields.
Because you're going to have to elbow a couple teams out of the way.
Or if you want a Mac Jones, that would pretty much give them the pick of the litter from outside of a, you know, obviously a Trevor Lawrence and a Zach Wilson, and then what we'll see what the Niners do, mm-hmm. Because they're going to take a quarterback. Do you love what's going to be left over, which could be Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields? And we don't know that from right now from what the vibe you're getting from George Payton.
Right, and we've been saying it for a couple weeks now, and we say it every year. You have to love the guy, the quarterback.
Right.
If he's just the best quarterback that's there, that may be able to work, but you have to love him. You can't just pick him just to pick him. You can't love Mac Jones, be lukewarm on Trey Lance, but Trey's available, so we'll take him.
You have to feel the guy you're drafting is going to immediately be better than Drew Lock.
He's got to be your guy.
He's got to be better than Drew Lock.
Yeah.
I'm right out of the gate. He's going to be better than. And that's where I'm not sure how much the Broncos believe in Drew Lock, how much George Payton still believes in Drew Lock. They passed on a lot of guys in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Trubisky had interest. Denver was not interested. It was not reciprocal. Andy Dalton, Denver didn't express any interest in him. The only guy that they made a phone call about wasn't in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Matthew Stafford,
right,
that they made the phone call to the Lions to say, hey, what would it take to get him? And Denver felt the price, you know, was too rich for their blood and pulled out of that. So could the Teddy Bridgewater situation be what, you know, Palmer's referring to? Because now that they made the trade for Sam Darnold,
mm-hmm.
that what do they do with Bridgewater? the problem they have right now, the Panthers, is that the contract they gave Bridgewater last season includes $10 million in fully guaranteed money for this year, with another $7 million in non-guaranteed on top of that.
Yeah, not a lot of teams are going to want to take that on.
So while the Panthers have given Bridgewater's agent full reign to go out and work out a deal to get him traded, he's going to have to redo his contract.
Or they're going to have to eat some of that.
Yeah. He's going to get $10 million in guaranteed money. And so...
And I'm a Teddy Bridgewater defender. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
But if you paid him that money, though, you made that's in his contract. $10 million guaranteed, whether he's worth it or not. Okay, that's I'm with you on that. I think that's a ridiculous number, but that's what the Panthers agreed to. And so if you're him, you're going to expect that $10 million in guaranteed money from the Panthers or from somebody. And is that a price? Is that a bridge too far, too big of a price the Broncos have to pay for a player like Teddy Bridgewater, coming off a season last year where they went 4-11. He did complete almost 70% of his passes, 3,733 yards, 15 touchdowns, 11 picks. You look at Drew Lock. Here's Lock from just this last year. Just we'll go on straight up 2020 comparisons.
Right,
Lock. Played in 13 games. He threw 57% completion percentage, 2,933 yards, 16 touchdowns, 15 picks.
Bridgewater takes better care of the football off the bat.
Because Drew was one of the worst in the league last year in taking care of the football. Not just picks, but fumbles and... But is that going to be too much of a price to pay for the Broncos if you've got to pay the $10 million guaranteed to Teddy Bridgewater? Are you confident that he is going to be that big of an upgrade over Drew Lock?
And my thing for the Broncos quarterback situation is you have to go into it, if you're not going to draft somebody, you have to go into it thinking, I need this guy for 2 years. If he's going to push Drew Lock, you have to go worst case scenario that he's going to beat Drew Lock. And so next year's quarterback market, both free agency and in the draft, right now as it shapes up, is not great. We went through the free agents a couple weeks ago, and it's a lot of nothing burgers, you know. And the guys coming out of college, there's not a great crop of quarterbacks coming out. So you may have to have this Bridgewater quarterback for 2 years. And is that's not an Alex Smith, right? Would be a Teddy Bridgewater type guy.
Because Teddy's not 30 yet.
That's hard to believe. As long as he's been around, he's not 30 yet.
And so you look at, you look at his career numbers for Teddy Bridgewater. Completion percentage, 66.5%. You know, that's, you know, interceptions to touchdowns. 53-36.
It's a backhanded compliment, but the best you can, what you say about Teddy Bridgewater is, yeah, he's not bad. It could be worse. Now, is that what you want for your starting quarterback competition? Is Drew Lock and, hey, he could be worse, Teddy Bridgewater? I don't know.
You have to decide whether or not Drew Lock this year gets the job done. Mm-hmm. And if next year, whether it's free agency or it's a Sam Howell from North Carolina or whoever, one of those guys next year will be the answer. Where this year you are in a spot where you got to like how you feel about Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones better than I think the group next year.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Rattler, I don't know. Spencer Rattler could be great. I don't know.
He could be not.
But then again. Isn't that the same deal with these guys, too?
I think yesterday Chris Sims was talking up a guy that you like, Kellen Mond.
Yeah.
He says he could be a first-round talent, and that's got to kind of alarm some Bronco watchers because you're hoping that guy's second, third round available, and you can maybe maneuver to get him. But if you pass on a quarterback, and then Kellen Mond goes in the teens, 20s, or even the 30s.
You're hoping to get that guy, and he's long gone?
Then you're draft strategy just went up in smoke, I think.
Because I still think that he plays a big role in this draft of the Broncos. I just feel like that he's a guy that you know, but if all of a sudden people are starting to get on the Kellen Mond train,
mm-hmm.
then that's a problem for the Broncos.
Yeah. They just weren't bad enough to get a quarterback last year. If Drew Lock doesn't have that four-game stretch at the end of the season, they're in a good spot to get a good quarterback.
So Denver picks 40th overall in the second round. Could Kellen Mond still be there? I don't know. He may be
That's a gamble.
He may be long gone by then. All right, 820.
They would have just sucked a little more. They would be in a better spot.
Sucked a little bit more. 821. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, will join us next on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on The Team.
Joining us right now on the Jim Davis Show, he's the radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Oh, Connor was there. Connor's gone. We'll have to track him back down. Avalanche score off against Minnesota tonight. We'll have that game right here on the team pregame at 6:30. And we will try to grab Connor again. Bad cell service, wherever the case may be for Connor. We'll try to get him back on in just a moment. Avalanche coming off the 5-4 win over the Wild the other night. Avs get the Wild again tonight in Minnesota. So we'll have that coming up in just a moment. So our conversation with Connor McGahee, Chris Dempsey will join us in just a little bit. Talk Nuggets from Altitude Sports. All right, can you hit it again? Just hit it again. Here we go.
Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on the team.
And we welcome in the radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Connor, good morning, sir.
Good morning to me. How are you?
Doing fine. I'm hoping the technical problems for your colleague, Vic Lombardi, is not migrating over to you, sir. Apparently, Vic had some problems last night.
Well, we both have souls that are about 137 years old, so it's bound to happen once in a while.
So do you occasionally go out for an early bird dinner when there's that rare opportunity, you and Vic?
Oh, every day.
At 4:30?
I'm blue plate special every single day.
Well, Connor, let's talk about the Avalanche and what the Avs are doing coming off the 5-4 win over Minnesota. It's not an old group. It's, they're not early bird special guys necessarily. Played some great youthful hockey these days. But the Avalanche coming off that win over Minnesota 5-4. And okay, we're still... We didn't lose you, Connor, did we?
No, I'm here. Okay, I hear you.
I heard the beep. I'm sorry.
Lima Charlie. No, it's all good.
Okay. So, great win over the Wild the other night, though. Avs got up 4-1, and it got a little dicey in the third with those three goals, but the Avs hold on for the win against the Wild.
Yeah, they do. And that's the first time of the season that Minnesota has scored more than one power play goal in a game. And the Avs have to stay out of the box. Find a way to do that, because I think that they've been shorthanded 20 times last five or six games, which is not great. But I mean, they have owned Minnesota 5-1 this year, outscored them 28-17. They beat the Wild five times in both 2000, 2001, and 05, 06. But it's funny because the Wild, who have been on a tear themselves, have struggled versus the Avalanche. Kirill Kaprizov only has 4 points in all those games. He's a minus seven. But Colorado was not happy with the first period, and they came out 18 seconds into the second period. There was Nathan MacKinnon, and he's got a multi-point effort again, as he now takes over the team lead in points. He has two. Sam Girard has two assists early in that second period. Burakovsky has a goal and an assist. So it was a nice response to see, because you knew that Minnesota had not lost at home in 11 games. You knew that they were going to get that bump from the fans. It was the first time they had fans in the stands on Monday night there at Xcel Energy Center. So the Avalanche give up the first one, yes, but respond the way that the best team in the NHL should, and they are. They're in the President's Trophy race, and they've come a long way since March 10th, where they were 18 places back of first overall in the NHL. They only had 28 points a month ago. So the Avalanche have put together an extraordinary run here of 15 games with a point, and of course, they hope it continues tonight.
Avalanche lead the West, 56 points. Vegas Golden Knights, 52 right now. And you said for the President's Trophy, the Avalanche are right there in contention. But do we want them to win it? Seems like it's always bad luck for the President's Trophy winner in the playoffs.
Always.
So, yeah, but it seems like a lot of the time lately.
Most of the time, yes. Most, like I said on Altitude Television the other night, I said, you know, there's one trophy that means more than the President's Trophy, but if you can get both, why not?
Absolutely.
You know, anytime you have a bigger trophy case, that's never a bad thing.
To quote Gordon Gekko, greed is good. And having both would be spectacular for the Avalanche. Connor McGahee joining us, radio voice of the Avalanche, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network against Minnesota. Nathan McKinnon, a goal and an assist. But when you look at the points right now, Connor McDavid, another sensational season, 64 points. Nathan has 45. Can he play himself back into the Hart Trophy conversation?
Well, here's the argument that I have with people all over the country, because Hart Trophy, and we've talked about this before, is defined as the player who is most valuable to his team. The Art Ross is given out for the top scorer in the National Hockey League. So a lot of people look and say that, oh, well, look at the amount of points that McDavid has. He must automatically be the most valuable player. The argument can be made there, yes, but I would not, I do not like when people automatically equate points for most valuable player. And that is what happens. It happened to Nathan McKinnon last year, I think. It happens especially in the McDavid conversation all the time. But I always say, look, there's already a trophy for the top scorer in the National Hockey League. Points overall, and of course goals with the Rocket Richard Trophy. So I think McKinnon is always in a hard conversation, but this year, with the balance that the Avalanche have, Mikko Rantanen, 44 points. Gabriel Landeskog, tied for fourth in the NHL with game-winning goals with six. Sam Girard is making a run for the top scoring defenseman in the National Hockey League. You go down the list. Cale Makar is a point-a-game player. Devon Taves is tied with Nathan McKinnon in plus-minus. They're second in the NHL behind Joel Edmondson of the Montreal Canadiens. Philip Grubauer has been the best goaltender in the National Hockey League over the last month. The Avalanche aren't in this position without his play. So in most years, yes, Nathan McKinnon is in that conversation, but because of the balance that the Avalanche have this year, I don't think he will be, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not a dig on Nathan McKinnon. It's good when you're not the only one carrying the water.
He's the radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. We'll keep it on individual honor talk here with the Norris Trophy, which goes to the best defenseman. And right now, from a point standpoint, Victor Hedman from Tampa Bay has the lead in terms of points. Cale Makar, you know, he's going to be in that conversation for the Norris, Connor. But what about Sammy Girard? Because there's more and more talk starting to build up about the year that Samuel's had, and him being in that conversation when we get down to the nitty gritty for the Norris Trophy.
Absolutely, and you look at Sam Girard, and you don't, because we automatically equate the Norris Trophy over time with guys like Al MacInnis, for example, or Ray Bourque, or you go down the line, Victor Hedman nowadays, big defensemen who can also score. They seem like the entire package, but Sam Girard quietly points. can really rack him up, and he's great at defending, one of the best puck handlers in the National Hockey League. And look, he's only 6 points out of or behind Victor Hedman and Adam Fox of the New York Rangers, who put up another 8 goals, by the way, last night. They've given the Avs a run for their money in that category. But for Sam Girard, I just think that he's so quietly good. And again, when you're dealing with national media and North American media, quietly good, unfortunately, doesn't get it done as far as the trophies are concerned. Now, we all know how good Sam Girard is. We all know how great he's been in the absence of a bunch of other members of the blue line. So, you know what? Forget everybody else. We'll take the quiet success of Sam Girard. And like I said, there's only one trophy that means anything in the end.
Connor McGahee, voice of the Avalanche, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. You do a lot of shows, and obviously thank you for doing our show on a regular basis.
Of course. But you do one of my favorites to do.
Well, thank you. Well, you do a lot of national shows. You talk a lot of other parts of the country. What's the biggest misconception that you hear? Because you talked about that a little bit with Nathan MacKinnon and the Hart Trophy. Connor, what are some of the biggest misconceptions about this team from other markets, from other shows and other markets about the Avalanche?
This one is easy. The biggest misconception about the Avalanche is that they're not physical or nasty enough. And that is a flat-out lie. And that they're all speed, they're not physical enough, they don't have grit. And I beg to differ. I think that you have... Gabriel Landeskog has said it on a regular basis. He said, look, you know, Nathan MacKinnon's like the Hulk. You don't want to make him angry. You know, MacKinnon stands up for himself. I have watched the helmet toss at Connor Garland probably 9,472 times. Landeskog, when Dumba is trying to pick a fight with MacKinnon before a TV timeout 2 days ago, it wasn't MacKinnon who responded. It was Landeskog who put Dumba in a headlock. Dan Renouf has had two fights this season. Dan Gilbert stood up and fought Keegan Kolesar earlier in the year. Kyle Burrows was challenged to a fight last game, and he stood up against Nick Bjugstad and won a fight about as lopsided as you could, or at least I've seen this season and maybe in the past couple of years. So do you want your superstars getting involved in altercations? No, but they have shown to me that playing-wise, they're big and strong enough. Valeri Nichushkin, for example, is probably one of the best forwards down low in the offensive zone in the NHL because of his size, skill, and smarts. Mikko Rantanen, the same. Landeskog, good in the corners. But when everyone says, well, they need somebody else to come in and stand up for their superstars. No, superstars have a competitive edge unlike anything that you've probably seen or really know about or hear about. And that's why, you know, I don't think that the Avalanche get the respect that they deserve when it comes to that side of things, because they are competitive, they are tough, and they're mean when they need to be.
Yeah, I have never got the sense that Nathan MacKinnon needs a bodyguard.
No.
Gabe Landeskog.
You need a bodyguard from Nathan MacKinnon.
Exactly. And do you think a lot of this comes from that Saturday game against Vegas? That the Bo Byron got hit, and there was...
Right.
Because that's where I think a lot of the talk really started from, Connor, was that particular game.
Right. So you have one game where it doesn't go your way. You still get a point against, at that time, the best team in the Honda West, and you feel, first of all, it's an illegal check in my mind.
Right.
The Kolesar hit on Bo Byram, so that has nothing to do with toughness. But and you're going to have off nights where you're not playing your best hockey, and I think that was not the Avs' best game. But to draw an overreaching description of a club based off of one game, I think is inaccurate. I mean, look. The matchup with Vegas has been right down the middle. I mean, it's the two best teams in the West, and they're 500 against each other, and that's the way that it should be. And that's the way that, you know, if things go according to plan, that's why they need seven games in the playoff series, because you got to find out if one team is one game better. So, but the Avalanche know the opposition. They know the challenges, and when the time comes, they will step to those challenges.
All right, Connor, have a great call tonight. Looking forward to it. The Avalanche and the Wild tonight, right here on the team pregame at 6:30. Thanks again, man. Talk to you soon.
Force of nature versus adjective. Talk to you guys then.
I love that. Thanks, Connor. Connor McGahee. I love that matchup.
Love it.
6:30 tonight. right here on the Team Sports
Something
Network.
Something we're all scared of versus English class.
Exactly. All right, Chris Dempsey coming up in just a couple of minutes. Let's quickly get to Four Down Territory.
We're into Four Down Territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right. Nick Saban describes Kyle Shanahan's behavior at Alabama Pro Day. Saban was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, and he talked about his encounters with Kyle Shanahan and general manager John Lynch. Kyle Shanahan didn't ask me a thing. I stood right next to him and I said hi to him, Lynch too. They didn't ask me a thing. Maybe they thought they weren't allowed to. And the discussion came up because Dan Patrick asked what Saban's duties are for a pro day. Of course, they were there to watch Mac Jones throw at Alabama's pro days on the 23rd and the 30th of last month. Think it's weird they didn't ask him anything? Maybe they thought they shouldn't? I don't... Is that a big deal? Big red flag that they didn't ask him anything?
I don't know. He says that, you know, they don't really... He doesn't really talk to the NFL people at Pro Day. And he never really has. He says one of his assistants and Bill Belichick go back a long time, and so they chat, and Bill will come up and they'll talk, and they're good friends, and they don't even really chat that much at Pro Day.
All right, second down. John Sterling has a home run call for Jay Bruce. Let's check it out.
Pitch to Bruce. Swung on, hit high in the air to right. Back goes Santander. He's on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone! The first home run by Jay Bruce in a Yankee uniform. The Bruce is loose.
Love it or hate it?
I'm ambivalent. I hate John Sterling's home run call.
I'm okay with it. That's what he does. It's his shtick, and that's what he does.
Yeah, and that's really...
All right,
hey, how about
third,
that?
Fourth down.
Colin Cowherd, noted hot take artist, compares Mac Jones to a BlackBerry. Not drafting a guy in the first round who is immobile. You cannot keep up in the NFL. Is that a fair criticism to compare him to a BlackBerry?
No, it's not fair. I know that immobile guy in Tampa Bay who's going to be 44 pretty soon.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Seems to be doing okay.
Yeah.
Not being the most mobile quarterback in the world. Yeah, I don't think that's a fair comparison.
Yeah, I mean, BlackBerries are fine. They're all right.
Yeah, they're
not as popular anymore, but hey, they're not ringing through your laptops like an iPhone, right?
Right.
There you go. Wilson Contreras tried to get hit by a pitch last night, and then actually did, and got mad.
That's stupid.
That's a little bit dumb by Wilson Contreras. Started. It wasn't a Donnybrook. It was a little, hold me back, hold me back. Somebody go hold me back. It was one of those type of fracases with the old Brewers last night.
I always hate the hold me back thing. Oh,
yeah.
Wait, nobody's grabbing me. Uh-oh.
Right.
This is not a good look. All right, that's Four Down Territory. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Chris Dempsey covers the Nuggets for Altitude, joins us next.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Still have time to get your pick in for our GJ Golf Masters Contest. Pick your golfer. Put your name, first and last name on your text. And if a golfer has already been selected, we'll let you know to pick somebody else. Send that to us also over under on the Broncos for 2021. Vegas Wise Guys have the Broncos at 7.5. Do they have a winning record with Drew Locke as their quarterback? Text or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. All right, talk to Avalanche with Connor McGahee. Now time to talk Denver Nuggets with Chris Dempsey from Altitude. Chris, I appreciate the time. How are you doing?
Oh, doing fantastic this morning. How are you?
Doing fine. I know my colleague, the Buckeye Boy, he played the clip of you trying to help Vic Lombardi with his laptop issue last night. Did you have to end up going full Geek Squad and going back there and helping him with that?
yeah, that was really funny. Yeah, no, I didn't go full Geek Squad on him. I should because, you know, the minute I leave, obviously his computer starts ringing, phones, they don't know what they're doing. It was really funny, but I didn't go back and help him. I trust that he got those issues figured out. But you know what? If not, I'm available today to help.
You're there. You're ready to go. Whenever he needs some help, where Grandpa Vic needs a little help, you know, figuring out some technology, Chris Dempsey's all over that stuff. You've got it completely covered. PDF, you can show him how to open that up, right? You can take care of all that stuff.
Yeah, this is a PDF. This is a power button. You push it to turn it on.
Oh, poor Vic. We're beating him up today. Chris Dempsey from Altitude joining us. Well, boy, the Nuggets are on a great stretch right now. And look, are they ever going to lose again now that they got Aaron Gordon? Seems like he's been the secret sauce for the Denver Nuggets since that trade.
Yeah, it's been really interesting with him in the lineup. You know, I just think defensively, he helps them. You know, when he's on the court, you know, they instantly got taller and bigger and just wingspan just everywhere. And so, you know, your point guard, you know, except for last night when Jamal Murray wasn't playing, but your point guard is 6'5", your two guard is 6'7", your three is 6'10", your four is 6'7", 6'8". And then Nikola Jokic hovering around 7 feet for your center. And so that's just instantly becomes just so much length and athleticism. You know, defensively, I think they're reaping the rewards from that. And, you know, offensively with Aaron Gordon as well, you know, he only had 9 points last night. But you're talking about a player that, you know, it just helps you be more dynamic offensively. So, you can put him in any action as the screener or as the ball handler. And now all of a sudden what you have on the court are five guys that can all make a play for another player or make a play for themselves. You know, and that just makes you just much harder to guard. And then obviously, and also I think in the open court, Aaron Gordon just is really devastating. I mean, if he is filling a lane and is going to get in there and you're going to feed him for the dunk, I mean, that's going to be a dunk, and he's probably going to get the bucket and the foul. He's just such a big guy. And so I just think, you know, the increments, the things that he's added has just taken the Nuggets from one level to the next. Now, I will say this. The schedule has been a little easy. You know, it's Orlando, and now it's Detroit, and so they are taking care of the teams that they need to be taken care of. But I don't think there's any denial here that the Nuggets are a better basketball team now. And, you know, as he continues to get more comfortable, they'll get even better.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And I agree, it has not been exactly juggernauts lately. But they also did go to L.A. and beat the Clippers. And that was a very impressive win. Aaron Gordon certainly helped play a role in that game defensively. But if they have had some quality wins during the stretch as well, and that being probably the signature one.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Going to L.A. and beating the Clippers, a team that I, you know, a lot of people think is going to end up at least in the Western Conference Finals. And so, you know, a lot of this, the narrative surrounding the Clippers is similar to what it was last year. You know, they're a team that everybody's pointing to as a legit contender. And so the Nuggets went into L.A. and handled that business. And, you know, so it was definitely an eye-opening victory. And the Nuggets didn't have to apologize for their schedule. You have to play everybody at some point. And the way these teams have played this season, some of these games, which at the beginning of the season might have looked like, oh, boy, you know, this team is coming because of the performance of the teams this season, it's not quite the same. And so what you do is you just go out, you get better each and every game, and you take care of your business. And, you know, listen, this entire stretch is 15 wins in the last 18 games. So, I mean, they have played really good basketball for a long time now. And it's obviously reflecting itself in the standings. And so the Nuggets are legit. And, you know, the trades and the acquisitions that they made have elevated them into, I think, that top-tier level. And now it's just going to be upon them to play consistent basketball, to continue to get better, to continue to mesh with Aaron Gordon. And I think they'll be fine. There's a lot of talent on this basketball team.
Altitude's Chris Dempsey joining us on the Jim Davis Show. And like we mentioned, they're not juggernauts the last couple of weeks for the Nuggets. But when you bring in a new guy, a couple new guys in Gordon and JaVale McGee, you got to figure out some rotations because you can't run out, you know, five bigs all the time. And so Mike Malone's got, you know, a little bit of a buffer to kind of get this rotation figured out. Do you feel like they're starting to kind of all find their footing now, the new chemistry with the two new guys?
Well, you know, a little bit, yes. And, you know, what keeps hurting them, though, is as soon as they get all their guys on the court, then there's not a guy on the court. And so, you know, last night you don't have Jamal Murray, and so that enters Monte Morris into the starting lineup, which is fine. But then, you know, the question is how is that bench rotation going to look, and what are the combinations you want to get to that, you know, have solutions for that as fast as possible. And you can't quite get to that when there are guys in and out of the lineup. And so just going to take a little time with that bench rotation. Whenever Jamal Murray comes back, and he missed last night's game with a little bit of knee soreness. And so we'll see whenever he comes back. But what he does, when he does come back, that is when I would definitely dial in on, okay, what are the combinations of players out here on the court? And you see the Nuggets go super small, play Paul Millsap and Michael Green alongside each other with PJ Dozier and Facu Campazzo and Monte Morris out there. You've seen them. They haven't gone big a ton, really almost at all, since they got JaVale McGee. And so that'll be interesting to see them, how they continue to integrate him into the lineup, because, you know, he's a different kind of player. I mean, you know, Paul Millsap and JaMychal Green are kind of pick-and-pop bigs, whereas if you're going to have JaVale on the court, you're going to really want to get into some pick-and-roll action, really put pressure on the rim, whether it be a lob or just by him rolling. It's going to draw defenders in, and so it's going to, you're going to play offense a different way. So, you know how quickly they can get to some of that and get comfortable with that second unit, we'll see. But it, right now, they certainly are playing the matchups, and you know, if a team is playing small, they're playing small. And then, obviously, they're playing the guys that they have, given some of the players who have been in and out of the lineup.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show. And Chris, while I think Aaron Gordon has been a real asset to this team, most notably defensively, I think the stretch, Michael Porter Jr., what he's been able to do, getting on the glass, you know, had another great game last night against Detroit. And again, it's the Pistons, and they're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. But the job that he's done, most notably, shooting the basketball, MPJ has become that, the player that they expected, the player we all hoped he would become. He's become that really consistent third option for the Nuggets right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about this. And when you are talking Michael Porter Jr., boy, I mean, you know, what he's done so far, let's just take this. At least 15 points in each of his last 15 games, at least 50% shooting in every single one of those games. And in the month of March alone, he was 20 points, 9 rebounds on 59% shoot, 59% from the field, and 53% from three. Right now, three games in April, 21.7 points, 7.7 rebounds on 63% shooting from the field and 54 from the three-point line. I'm not exaggerating when I say he's one of the most devastating offensive players I've ever seen. And it's just, he can roll out to the basketball court and put 50% shooting on the court almost every night. And that is the most unusual thing for a player who is a perimeter-oriented player. I mean, obviously, if you're a big Shaq, you know, you're just dunking everything, all right, your field goal percentage is going to be really high. But when you take the number of three-point shots, the number of jump shots that Michael Porter Jr. does, to consistently put those shooting percentages on the court is unbelievable. And what he's been able to do also is now mix in, on opposing scouting reports, he's a player now that's kind of a runoff from the three-point line. But okay, now you attack that closeout, get yourself to the rim, finish strong, finish with dunks, get yourself to the free throw line, and those things are going to keep him consistent on the rare occasions that his jump shot is not really rolling. And then you mentioned the board work, his ability to attack the offensive glass, get putbacks, all of these things that supplement the jump shooting is really the reason why his averages are so high, and that his shooting percentages are so high, because he's going to make high 40s in his jump shots alone. But now if you take away some of the bad jump shot attempts and make those layups or dunks at the rim, putbacks, cuts, all of these things that get you higher percentage shots, now you have a chance to get your shooting percentages through the roof. And that's where he is right now. He's getting very comfortable, obviously, with Jamal and Joker, and where he is and where his shots are coming from, and how he's moving around those guys. and they are getting comfortable with him as well. They understand more of where he wants the ball, how he's going to move. And now you can, when the two of those come together, you become a really formidable force. And I think we've seen that in the last few weeks that really hit a crescendo. And Michael Porter Jr. is really been a devastating offensive force for the Nuggets and really will be an X factor for this basketball team as it goes through the remainder of the regular season, but most especially into the playoffs.
Hey, Chris, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV and Radio. Hour 3 coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.